All right, live from Lower BCC, we're back, Red Sea Radio, episode 25. I'm your host, Kyle Majewitz, along with Jack Sarasulo. Jack's been, 2 weeks? We're back in the studio, though. How you feeling?
Good. You know, we've been able to settle down from our immediate high that came from, like, watching the games, like, back-to-back days.
Yep.
So I think it's, March Madness is, like, now officially ended, baseball season's upon us. So I feel good.
Me too, yeah, and we're, I guess our show today won't be, a little biased.
Yeah.
Because of the emotions running from the March Madness.
Exactly. We won't be freaking out, and we'll be more level-headed.
So, today on Red Sea Radio, for the next hour, we're going to talk Fairfield sports. As always, we're going to wrap up the basketball season, which is pretty much what we spent the entire year talking about. We're also going to get into some Fairfield baseball. They're obviously having a historic season. And we're not just hopping on the bandwagon. We've went to a decent amount of games this year.
We went to a couple. At least six or seven, right?
Yeah. At least half. So we're not hopping on the bandwagon. We've watched a decent amount of Stags baseball. We'll talk about them. And then we'll mention soccer at the end, too, because I know they have a big game today coming up as well. So let's start off with the basketball. We're just going to kind of wrap the season up. And to do that, I wanted to talk about maybe each player. How they did. And then, just our outlook on everything when it comes to that. So let me just pull up the roster real quick.
I have to go with my number. That's how they order it. So
we'll just go by roster. By the website. So, I guess starting off, Caleb Green, right? So, Caleb. High expectations to start the year. For me, I'd say a little disappointing in terms of how he played this year, just because of the expectations. Because he still got, 40 minutes a game almost.
Yeah, he played almost every game of every game.
Yeah, so as far as that goes, I'd say a little disappointing, scoring-wise, specifically. Had trouble scoring.
The first few games, we kind of were surprised in a good way of his scoring. We saw mid-range jumpers off the screens, pull-up jumpers that he made kind of look easy. So, I mean, Stony Brook that game? He had a really – obviously, the ending was bad, but Stony Brook, he had a really good game. Providence, he looked really good. And then once conference play opened up, he seemed to kind of just, get kind of passive, kind of take bad shots. But, I mean, obviously, Jae Young told us that his leadership was such a big part of the team that there might be things that we don't see in the stat sheet that he did for this team that helped them do what they did.
Yeah, and his points high on the season, Manhattan, 21 points, minutes high, 43. Field goals made, 7. He averaged 7 points, 7.6 points a game this season. So, not terrible, but I think we definitely expected more, and I think we're definitely going to expect more next year.
I mean, next year with a full offseason in the program, better players around him, we're guessing. Players are going to be developing more. Our guys that were freshmen when we kind of started getting into it are going to be now juniors, upperclassmen. So, I mean, I hope that his assist numbers go up, especially, more so than anything. But, yeah, I would love to see a couple more baskets, but I'm mostly focusing on the assist numbers, assist to turnovers.
Yeah, and as much as we say we're disappointed, you could fully expect him to be in the starting rotation.
No, I'm not worried about his starting. I hope he starts every game next year. I don't want him to not be starting.
Yeah, potentially could be a captain as well, because I know Jae Young talked about his leadership. Was he a captain? I don't even know.
I think he was just a senior. I don't even know what they – did they name captains?
I have no idea. I don't even remember. But anyway, moving on. Chris Mido. I said
– wait, are we giving a grade? Are we giving
– oh, do you want to give grades?
We'll give a grade. We'll give grades, you know.
For Caleb, I'll say, B-.
I was going to say C-plus, B-.
Yeah.
Not bad, but, could definitely improve.
Because he definitely didn't play to the point where it was he's unplayable.
Yeah, no.
I mean, he stayed in the lineup the whole year.
He always ran the offense. He always was our best ball handler. Him and Jake came in, he kind of took some of that ball handling duties. But, Kidd was our best ball handler by far for most of the year.
Yeah, so I'd say like B minus.
Yeah.
Chris Mido next. Moving on.
Our baby.
Yeah, for me, I'd say I was pretty impressed with him this year. He had a very streaky kind of up and down season.
Cook and him both did. Like the two bigs, they.
But when we view it as like them as a unit, and it's like, well, at least if one of them does good,
it's a good
each
night.
Game.
Yeah.
It's usually a good night. Mido up and down season for me. For next year, mainly like the outlook for next year, I would say he just has to bring that fire every game. Because when he plays with that aggression, he plays really well.
The athleticism he showed at times, like those dunks were, he had some dunks that were like,
ferocious.
We haven't seen the athleticism from a guy on Fairfield in a while.
We've been here, yeah.
Since we've been here, at least.
So,
he had some plays that like, you were like excited to watch him play at times because he was like so dominant in the paint.
Yeah. And it was those plays where he was, like, aggressive. Like,
yeah,
he went right
aggressive
to the hoop.
Going at guys.
Going right through
afraid
people.
Not afraid to take contact and finish over contact.
Yeah, and that's my thing is when he could do that, he's very successful, but he didn't do it consistently this year.
And
so hopefully.
Yeah, and hopefully weight gets put on.
Yeah.
Put on a little bit more weight, to like 200-ish. Like, that would be perfect size for him.
Yeah, I was gonna say put on weight, hopefully, and then maybe that would make him more confident to be aggressive.
To take contact on the barrier.
Yeah. So, again, outlook for him is he's gonna be even better next year, hopefully.
I have to expect it. I can't imagine he won't be.
Averaged 5 points a game this year, season high 13. But you know, minutes he was at his high minutes were 29.
Well, I mean,
we didn't really see that from him last year. So
last year, when he played max like 20 minutes, we see.
Yeah,
him.
So it was improving. So yeah. I'm just,
and that's with another great big on the court, like playing most of the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, so in general, he's showing that he's improving. I expect even better next year. He's gonna be a junior next year. He's gonna be one of the leaders.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'd say grade for him, I'd say like A minus B plus range. Yeah.
I'll give him a B. I mean, I want that scoring to kind of be more consistent because he had some of those games like he had like close to a double-double. And he had some games where he couldn't really
score at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what messed around with his average too is like he'd have
some zeros.
He'd have some double-digit games. He'd also have some zeros, and that's why he averaged 5. But, yeah, I was still pretty impressed with him just all around.
Athleticism makes me excited.
Yeah. So moving on now. Our next player is Taj Benning. The returning senior.
Thank God. Because, I mean, his scoring, I don't know the exact number that he averaged, but, I mean, his scoring was just so huge for us in so many games.
Yeah, so he averaged 12 on the season, but his season high was 24. So, you know, he did have multiple 20-point games this year. I think he even had some back-to-back 20-point games
that,
this year.
Quinnipiac, or was it the Quinnipiac series? Or I'm trying to think of there was a series where he had, like, a great series, a great weekend.
He had 18 and 23.
Yeah. So, yep. I mean, like, he turned into a bona fide, like, number one option this year.
Even that stretch, the two Quinnipiac games, 18-23, and then the next game at St. Peter's, 20.
Like, that's a bona fide. Like, I can't believe he didn't make it all MAC team with how he played.
Yeah, and he dropped 24 against Monmouth in that MAC game. So, you know, just a very good year for him. For us, it was like we watched him last year and the year before.
Yeah.
And we thought he was good, but, like, obviously scoring-wise, three-point shot was not really there at all.
But granted, he was also playing point guard that whole year. Didn't help his ability.
Yeah. Like, well, that's the thing, too. And we talked about that at the beginning of this year, how it could help him playing his natural position now. And it did, so.
Oh, especially when Jake came in, too. Like, having got, because when it was just Caleb and him, he kind of had to take on those ball handling duties. Like, Jalen was kind of there, too. But, I mean, he was basically their backup point guard until Jake came. So, he kind of, when Jake came, you could see he got even better this year.
Yeah, and then having both of them as threats on the court as well.
Yeah, also opened
at
up
the same
paint
time
for him to finish, because, like, that's his best attribute, is getting the paint. That mid-range jumper also became such
also
a weapon for him.
And, like you said, getting to the paint, his free throw shooting is a huge positive, too. So, if he can get fouled, it's almost guaranteed points. So, yeah, strong season from Taj. Like we mentioned, 24-point season high, average 12 in the year. But just tremendous upgrade from his previous years. I mean, look, Freshman year, average 1 point. Sophomore year, average 4.7. And then last year, 9.8. And then this year, 12.
Yeah. So exponentially and you can't take away from the defense that he brings. Like, he's a big body that can stay with guards and can get in the paint if he has to and rebound.
Yeah. He could really defend. He could defend almost anyone. I'd be pretty confident in him.
And his rebound is great. I mean, for a 6'4 guy, he was able to grab a few that.
Yeah. Well, he's very physical, too.
Yeah.
Definitely spends time in the weight room. And definitely spends time just working on his game, as you could tell from how much he improved. So, Taj, I would give an A.
Yeah, an A. He's our best player.
Yeah. We would, I mean, I was going to say to name our MVP later on, but I think we'd have to agree it would be Taj this year.
I mean, Jake, kind of our midseason MVP just because of how much better we played after he came, but.
It's got to be Taj,
it's
though.
It's got to be Taj, yeah.
Yeah, maybe next year, Jake, but I think Taj this year for sure. Next up, we're talking about Jalen Leach. You know, a bit of an odd season for him.
Great start. I mean, he looked the part of what we expected him to be when he when we were in the off season. We were talking about like projections for our recruits. He kind of fit what we were talking about in the off season immediately.
Yeah, I mean, because we've been on this show saying I don't even know if we have said it on the show like. I hope he doesn't transfer.
Earlier in the year when we were seeing him play, I keep saying the Stony Brook game, but that kind of was like.
He dropped 13 in that game.
Yeah, so, I mean, because he just looks so smooth. Like, a lot of the guys, like, they can score, like, obviously, but Taj is kind of like a brute, like, doesn't really, like, make it pretty, I would say. Like, Jalen is, like, pretty when he plays. Like, he.
Yeah, 4 for 5 from 3 against Niagara, 15 or 16 points as well. So, yeah, I mean. Right away, he came on against Providence and hit that three away, right?
Early on, yeah.
Right, first game of the season. And we were like, all right, now we have some three-point scoring. Unfortunate for him, an injury cut his season short. Hadn't played since January 16th on. So, you know, it's just unfortunate because he's one of those guys that, along with Mido, because he got injured, that you would have liked to say, hey, if we had them in the MAC tournament,
yeah,
maybe things could have been different.
I mean, the big man depth was slim going towards the end of the MAC tournament without Mido. Even the guard depth was kind of getting thin without
Jalen.
Like, Jalen just is, like, a great piece off the bench that can come in and score. Like, our scoring, obviously, is always our biggest problem.
Yeah.
And Jalen having that immediate scoring impact off the bench is huge.
Yeah, you know, it's just I feel like you can't really grade this season as a whole, but we definitely like what we saw. For next year, expectations are pretty high for him.
And with Cruz going out, those are minutes to be had.
Yeah, exactly, too. So that's more minutes opened up for him. We do have another point guard coming in next year as well, so we'll see how that all shakes out.
With Jay Young, it kind of becoming Jay Young's team.
Yeah.
And a lot of the bench minutes will be solely Jay Young guys.
Yeah, and that's really cool, and that's what we've been waiting to see, kind of, you know, with the exception of Taj, it's not going to be a problem, you know what I mean?
You're not worried that Taj is going to take minutes from Jay Young's guys because we love Taj so much.
Yeah, and at this point, Taj is basically a Jay Young guy this point.
Look at the improvement he made with just one offseason with Jay Young.
So, yeah, but I think Jalen proved himself enough to have high expectations again going into next year. And, you know, I think he'll have a better season if he stays healthy, more minutes to be had, and hopefully more points. Because, I mean, he averaged 6.9. It's not terrible. It's just he didn't.
He also shot 34% from three. I mean, you'll take that any day of the week. 34% in the MAC.
Yeah. I'd love to see more of him and Jake next year.
Yeah.
Sharing the court together.
Some Splash Brothers.
Exactly. I would love to see that. And we'll see if it happens.
Even mixing in Taj at the three there, like, but no, when Caleb's off the court, I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, imagine Jake, Jalen, and Taj.
Yeah,
the threats on that court
on the outside, and Jalen isn't he can finish also. Like, he's not like a one dimensional player by any means.
And then you got like Chrysler and Mido down low, or I mean, Supreme.
To think how far we came from last year, or 2 years ago now,
our sophomore year?
Yeah, our sophomore year. About how hard it was to find three-point shooting with that team. To next year, we could have four guys that we could legitimately, like, put on the court and be confident shooting the ball.
Yeah, I mean, last year.
Four with those three guys at the guard position.
Yeah, last year, as in, like, 2019-20. I mean, it was, like, basically Landon. You just had to, like...
You had Landon.
Landon was, like, the only one that could shoot.
Landon and Taj from the corner was, like, his one spot that he kind of could at times.
And, like, Jesus.
Jesus, at the end of shot clocks, could only make...
Yeah.
It seems like he is, like... He's the best under pressure. At the end of a shot clock, he can hit his threes.
But, yeah, it was mainly, like, just relying on Landon to...
To get hot.
Yeah. But, anyway, good outlook for Jaylen for next year. We're excited to see him get back healthy, have a good offseason, and play well next year. We're moving on to Jake, who is arguably the second-best player right up there with Taj this year. Had a late start, December 18th, him and Chrysler at Niagara. But, you know, definitely didn't disappoint.
Led not
the, I think he led the team
in the
average 13.5 points.
Which is a lot for the Mac. I mean, think about how we scored 60 a game. That's a quarter of our
if
points.
If that, sometimes.
Yeah, if that.
So, you know, career or season high, probably career high as well, 33 points against Manhattan the last game of the regular season.
Turned our season around or kind of gave us the momentum that...
That fire going into the Mac. Yep. And then, like you said, 38% from
38% from three, 41% from the field, and 85% from the line. Those are splits you take any day of the week from someone.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's hard to complain. No real complaints about his season. The only thing I would say is I'd like to see him get some more shots at times.
He disappears at times.
Yeah, he had the ability to disappear at times.
But, I mean... He is a shooter through and through. You're not going to see him in the paint driving, kind of like going up against those 6'10 guys. So, I mean, it limits him. But that'll come with the rest of our guys making plays. He'll have shots open up.
Yeah, for sure. And also just, I guess, more confidence.
Yeah.
Being more of a leader now.
I mean, in the MAC tournament, he played like a different player. Like, after that Manhattan game, you saw he kind of knew he was the best shot maker on the team. And it seemed like Jaylen gave him, like, the free reign to, like, take shots wherever you see fit.
Yeah. Especially in that, was it the Monmouth game where he seemed like he was just shooting from everywhere?
Yeah,
that
was the game where he hit three threes in a row. But that was when they were down at the half and oh, no, that was not Monmouth. That was...
Was that the one where he hit that shot where someone was, like, behind him?
Yeah.
He was, like, floating forward?
I forget. The game kind of all meshed together.
I think it was the Monmouth game where he was just shooting from everywhere. And it was working for
a
decent portion of it. So, yeah, I mean, my only thing for him would be, he has a tendency to disappear a little bit. But I would just like him to be consistently taking shots the whole game.
One thing I saw in the MAC tournament that kind of was different from the regular season was that, in the Manhattan game too, he was kind of going at all levels, like, he kind of stayed at the three-point line a lot earlier on, like kind of stayed his role. But the MAC tournament, he kind of started going from all levels, hitting mid-range jumpers in the paint, three-point. Like, you can see he kind of gained confidence definitely in the MAC tournament.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, no real complaints from him. Probably our second-best player. And if Taj wasn't coming back next year, he'd be our
starting shooting guard.
Our lead player. Yeah. He's still going to be one of the lead players, leading scorer. So very, very impressed with him. Great season for him. We're happy to have him. And we're going to move on now to Supreme Cook, number 5, the freshman. He had a good season, I would say.
We're giving...
Very good season.
Wait, we're giving Jake an A?
Oh, Jake, yeah, A. Okay. Didn't even have to say it. But, yeah, Supreme Cook, career high as well. 13 points this season against Hartford. He had a really good game then. Wish we would have beat Hartford.
Yeah.
Made it to the tournament.
I mean, yeah, and we definitely were better. Like, not better than them, I don't know, but we definitely
deserve to win one of those games.
We should have beaten them.
Maybe
yeah.
two, you know. But, and I saw that Hartford might be looking to go down from Division I now.
Really?
Yeah, I just saw that. I saw a tweet or something.
It's interesting.
Interesting, but 6 points per game, 6.3 points per game for Supreme Cook. I'd say he had a very impressive season as a freshman.
I think he was, what I was most surprised with was his, his advanced post moves. His feet in the paint were, his footwork, I guess, was very, very impressive. I mean, compared to Mido, which is kind of like, if you have to get him in the ball with an open look at the rim to get him a shot, Cook, you can give him the ball in the post and kind of let him back someone down, do a little spin, hook, like that kind of stuff was a lot more advanced than I expected from a freshman.
Yeah, and he definitely has work to do as well still.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
You know, he... he's had some games where he had trouble finishing at the rim.
For sure. I mean, there are a lot of – well, I mean, also it doesn't help that his free throws are kind of a problem. Like, if his free throws go up, that will be less of a problem because
– yeah, because you don't really have to finish at that point.
Yeah, because
you still like to.
If you get to the line, you should be able to make at least two – or one of two. But we were worried at times when he would not be able to finish off a foul. We'd be like, it's an empty possession because he can't.
But, yeah, dominance, though, from him as a freshman. Still like to see it. Season-high rebounds 14 against Monmouth in that MAC championship game, or the MAC, whatever that was, the second round. So, I think the scoring will come as time comes along, but it's nice to see him aggressive, getting rebounds. As a freshman, just being like very...
advanced for his age, I would say.
Yeah, like getting big minutes and not really seeming like a freshman. Mm-hmm. So... you know, he seemed to be right on par with Mido, who
if
had an extra
more,
year than him.
Even if not more prepared than Mido was the freshman.
Yeah, and he found himself starting, you know.
And he wasn't starting that the later games in the MAC tournament. We had Jason starting, but he got the starting minute. He got the closing minutes, I should say.
Yeah, and I think when Mida would fall out of the lineup, he'd find himself starting sometimes, too.
Oh, yeah, no, in the regular season, definitely. I'm saying in the MAC tournament, though, we had Jason kind of stepping in for the start, but, like, he played, what, 8 minutes?
And then Supreme got the big minutes. So, overall, I'm impressed with him. I'd say grade, I'd say a B.
Yeah, I'll give him a B, B plus.
Yeah, for a freshman, it's impressive. Yeah. So, moving on, number 10, Alan Jean Rose. He had season high 8 points against Monmouth in that
Monmouth killer,
the MAC game. We call him the Monmouth killer because 8 points in that game. Before that, buzzer beater against Monmouth last year. But he averaged 1.4 points per game. Obviously, had a down season.
Kind of didn't really get minutes for a while. He was in and out of the rotation, to say the least.
Yeah, for sure. He was at points not even really in the rotation.
Yeah.
You know, found himself even not playing in some games. So it's tough. It was a tough season for him. I'd like to ask Jay Young.
I would like to see what he...
what his plan, I guess, right?
Not even a plan, but what his thought process is with where he wants him to play, what lineups he feels most comfortable playing him in. Because he doesn't really have a position at this point. You don't know whether you're playing with two guards, have him be the second guard, have him be kind of a big pairing with one of the, like, the Supreme Armados. Like, you don't really know exactly where he fits into a lineup.
And just where he fits into this team, too. You know, with more guys coming in.
Well, yeah, because he's kind of getting into that odd man out territory that kind of Calvin was in, where there are guys coming in that are better. Not even better, but just, like, fit the team better. You have guys transferring in that kind of fit Jay Young's philosophy a little bit more.
Because by the time you're a junior, you're either kind of in or
yeah,
not.
You're in or out.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help that he was kind of a... Like, was he not a Jay Young guy? I'm trying to remember.
No, he was. Him
he
and
was,
Mido last
was,
year.
That was his friend. Okay, yeah. So, I mean, it's tough because I guess you kind of hope that it would take... He would be kind of getting more and more minutes as the seasons go on, not less and less.
Yeah, I mean, Jay Young at the beginning of the season talked to us, like, about, you know, him having good potential but really needing to just work on things and practice. And then, you know, you see this season and it hasn't really happened yet. So it's kind of like, you know, when is it going to happen, or what is Jay Young's outlook on him? So I'm excited to be able to ask
and
him
granted,
about
it. It's like a flip of a switch. Like, next year he come out being great, and I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, look at Taj. He went from being, what, 15% from three to what he ended up being this year. He was 36% from three.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if he can just fix his three-point shot, he becomes a very valuable piece with his length on defense. Because the defense shows up. The defense is... there easily.
I mean, that's why he's got any minutes this season.
Yeah, his defense.
Really.
And his ability to score in that Monmouth game just was icing on the cake.
Yeah. So, I guess grade-wise, I'd give him like a C.
Yeah, I was going to say C, C minus. Just not enough minutes to kind of warrant anything more.
But at the end of the day, it's kind of his fault, too.
Yeah, obviously. And we hope that he gets more minutes because we love seeing him play. And I love his defensive... his ability in the defensive end, his length and everything. I mean, in that MAC tournament, he was the jump shot. Like, he was kind of starting to happen.
Yeah, I mean, against Monmouth,
yeah.
It's just not consistent, or, you know. But we still wish him the best luck. Like, he was one of our favorite players going into the season. So, you know, we're still rooting for him. And we know he has potential to be good.
We want him to get on the court.
So, yeah. Moving on, we'll go to Jason next. Because we're just going to keep it with, like, the people who got big minutes for the most part. Jason just followed us this week on Red Sea Radio. So, shout out to him if he listens. Season high points. He had 8 against Manhattan. And then 19 minutes against Manhattan, too, season high. Average 1.9 points per game. But, you know, I mean, if you look at
His minutes, it was like...
If you look at his games, too, he only played, like, 12 games.
I mean, it was tough. He had mono early on. Couldn't really... It took him a while to recover from that. And then Gerald didn't really ever have a game where he got, what, more than 12 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, he played 18 and 19 in the two of the Manhattan games.
But in those Mac tournament games, he played, what, 8? I think he had 8 in one of those games, 8 minutes, 8, 10 minutes.
Yeah, he played 19 against Manhattan, first round, 12 Monmouth, second round, and then 4 each in the last two rounds. But still, like, started most of those
still
games.
Still started, and honestly, he did what we expected. When we talked about him in the offseason, kind of, like, referring back to that offseason episode where we kind of had the profiles, kind of.
Yeah.
We said he could be a very energetic guy off the bench, kind of play short minutes but be energetic. And I think he did that job in those games.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't play until December 19th, but I did like what I saw from him. Even in that game, he went in Niagara,
yeah, the mop-up
played 2 minutes,
minutes. I was going to say, the mop-up minutes,
and then
he
dunked.
Good.
He had a dunk. It was a nice dunk. So, you know, I know it's a small sample size, but he did shoot 50% from the field. 8 for 16, but he did shoot 50% from the field. And I liked what I saw from him as well. I think it was a little unfair in the MAC championship game. They had him playing kind of like center at some point, right?
I mean, that was also due to Meyer not being there. They really had a rotation of like Meyer. They had guys kind of not playing.
Oh, actually, it might have even been the Maris game, 10 minutes on January 15th. I think he was playing center as well and was kind of getting bullied down there. But that's not, like, his position.
Well, yeah,
you know?
I think that will come when everyone's healthy again. I think hopefully they'll start deploying lineups with either Chrysler at the 5 or Mido or Cook at the 5 with him at the 4, hopefully.
Yeah. I am excited to see him have a full season next year.
Because, honestly, it's more about the defensive side than the offensive side, because... I mean, on defense, I'm fine with Chrysler playing against fives, playing defense against fives, because I know he's so smart on defense. That
sound.
Yeah, he's sound defensively, so that even if he is getting bullied, he knows ways to either get a couple steals, take a couple charges that can kind of turn the game, where Jason is kind of just, he doesn't have the size really to match up with those guys. At least Chrysler has the size.
But Jason does have the athleticism, and I really like to see him come off the bench next year and get more minutes. We talked about Allen, right? Jason could be a guy that takes significant minutes from Allen next year.
I mean, he is good in the paint, finishing on offense too. For a smaller guy, I'm confident with him finishing against fives.
And high energy, which you can't even that's like a teachable thing.
He's an athletic guy. He'll be able to run the floor and kind of what Jae Young mentioned. He wanted to run more this year. He can help with that next year, running, getting out and fast break more.
Yeah,
because our bigs run our off. Like our bigs are kind of the centerpiece of our offense.
And even aside from speed, I just meant like high energy, as in like he has like a lot of heart. Like he's like always cheering on the team, stuff like that. Like that's like the stuff you can't even teach, but that's like good locker room stuff. Good for the team. So I'm excited to see him play next year again. This is another guy you can't really give a grade to this year just because of injury or sickness. But based on how he was starting at the end of the year, you got to assume Jae Young has.
Big plans
for him moving forward. So I'd say not a bad freshman year from what we saw from Jason. And we're looking forward to watching him play again next year. Move on to Chrysler. Sophomore season for him. A season high 11 points against Ryder. 29 minutes against Siena. But he averaged 4.5 points per game. And, you know, we talked to him in our last episode. And, you know, for him this season, it wasn't really about scoring. It was more about, you know, the dirty work on the court. being a guy that he literally in the last episode said that he took pride in taking charges. You know what I mean? He said he thought he led the country in charges.
I would believe if you told me that.
Put him up there.
Yeah, I believe if you told me he was top 10 in the country in charges taken, I would not be surprised.
Yeah. So, I would say very solid season for him as well. I mean, comes in with Jake, you know, on December 18th against Niagara, and you know, pretty much took him a couple games, but for most of the season, he just was in the starting position right out from there.
I liked a lot. I mean, him at the four with either Cook or Mato, whoever was starting that night, it was a good duo.
Yeah.
It took the weight off them on the defensive end, kind of, and gave him more chances to finish on offense with him being able to stretch the floor.
Yeah. He was always very reliable defensively, and then offensively had some spark games where he would hit a couple threes. And like you said, having him as, 6'9", being able to stretch the floor like that and hit some threes is very helpful. We looked back at games where he dropped, you know, 11 points or 7 or 9, whatever, and that usually helped us a lot.
I mean, yeah, that's a swing. Because, I mean, that's a guy that you don't expect to drop 7, like, 11 points. That's, like, not, like, a guy you're banking on. Like, guys like Caleb, Taj, Jake, you're expecting 13 to 15 points from them. If Chrysler can give you 11, that's like a swing of a game.
Yeah.
Between a loss and a win.
Like 1/6 of our points as well, too. So, but yeah, I mean, it's for us, for him, it's the, it's not the scoring. It's the dirty work. It's the defense. And I think next year, is going to be even better for him. You know, he's already had all this experience now. Next year gets a full season, full chemistry with the team. And, yeah, I think he'll definitely take a leadership role as well going into a junior year. The way he talked to us seemed like a leader. So I think pretty excited for him again next year, as far as that goes. And grade-wise, I'd say like a B, B-plus range.
I give him a B-plus. I mean, his three-point shooting was just so big. Just add another guy that can reliably shoot the ball.
Yeah.
That's what we've been asking for.
And that's not even his main contribution.
That's not even his main attribute.
So yeah, we're going to move on next to Jesus Cruz, playing his final season at Fairfield. He had a season high of 18 points against Stony Brook, 36 minutes against St. Peter's in that championship semifinal game. But he, you know, he averaged 8.7 points per game this year. And he was another guy that had his average is a little skewed because, you know, he dropped 10, 18, 18, 18, 17.
But then had
2 or 3 or 0. So it's a little skewed.
He's definitely the most polarizing player on the roster.
Yeah, I mean,
everyone has a different opinion on him.
Yeah, he's just had an up and down season this year. We were critical of him on the show this year because of how good we know he can be, and has been.
We know his scoring prowess. We know he can drop 20 on any given night. He's just his ability to finish in the paint, and even his three pointers were starting to come together towards the end. Like in the MAC tournament, we were talking like watching the games. We were like, Cruz at this point is like a semi reliable 3-point shooter.
Yeah, and the first three games before the Iona game, 2 for 4, 1 for 1, 2 for 5,
yeah,
2 for 6. So, you know, pretty solid.
For sure. And I mean, it's his ability. It's just about shot selection for him almost. When we noticed that when he pick and chose his shots and was kind of playing in the right lineups, he was able to take advantage of mismatches and finish in the paint, even take a couple threes. So I think it's mostly he mostly kind of relied on the correct pairings he played with, because I think at times early in the year, he kind of just started, played the whole game no matter who was on the court, and it kind of forced him to, press. He tried to take a lot of shots earlier on in the year. He took almost, like, he was taking more shots than Taj earlier on in the year, because he was playing the whole game, and it kind of
trying to be the hero, kind of.
I think later on, he kind of started playing a little bit less. Kind of play.
Well, we talked about too. I think the bench role for him.
Yeah, it was so much better.
Was important. I think it was a really good role for him, because it was good It was good for him, and it was good for the team.
Yeah.
Because he'd come in with the younger guys, be a leader.
Yeah, and also didn't take shots away from Taj and Jake.
Yeah, because when he was out there taking shots, he was one of the better scorers on the court at that time. For me this season, I think shot selection was huge for him in games, like you just said, kind of where he took too many shots or just poor shots. You know, we had a bad game, and it kind of made
snowballed.
Us... It gave us, like, a bad impression. But then he had games where he didn't take too many shots, high IQ shots. And, you know, he played well, so it was really hard. It was a very up-and-down year for him.
It's tough because it was a senior year. We had nothing to, like, prepare for next year.
Yeah, tough. But I think just to close on him, regardless of how harsh we've been on him this season, definitely a phenomenal career here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's one of the, like, he has, like, spots in the records books.
1,000-point scorer. Yeah. So, you know, definitely a great career here. Not disappointing at all. And especially, you know, we're juniors now, but freshman and sophomore year, he was, like, one of the better players on the team.
And the defense, I mean, you no matter what, whether he was playing poorly on offense, the defense was always there, especially in the later half of the year. I mean, you could tell, like, he was getting 2 or 3 steals a game.
He averaged over
a steal a game. So, I mean,
the defense was always there. He would take charges, grab steals, and he was one of those guys, too, that never gave up. You know what I mean? He could be down by 40 and wouldn't give up. He gave me, like, kind of like that Russell Westbrook kind of energy.
It wasn't even, like, when he took, like, more shots, it wasn't because he, like, didn't want to pass the ball. It was just because he wanted to, like, score and win so bad that... He thought he was...
Yeah, it seemed like he almost wanted to win so bad, and he was so competitive that it almost hurt him to a sense, because he played everything at, like,
150 miles per hour
speed. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, 100 miles per hour. And it seemed sometimes he needed to just slow things down, you know what I mean? I feel like he didn't really do that much, so it almost was, like, to a fault how competitive he was. But definitely a great career, and, you know... We wish him the best of luck. He's still going to play somewhere else next year. Wherever he goes, wish him the best of luck.
We give an A-plus for his career.
A-plus for the career. Yeah. For the season, I'd say like...
A B-minus.
B-minus, yeah.
The end of the year helped him a lot. I mean, without him, we don't go to the MAC championship.
Yeah, of course. So, finally, we got Chef to round off the season. 7 points against Canisius, but 2.6 on the year. I'd say a disappointing year for him.
I mean, just the expectations were kind of... I feel like the expectations were set high. I mean, especially Jae Young.
They were way high. Jae Young called him the most athletic player in the MAC.
And I mean, I don't even necessarily dispute that too. Like, I mean, he lost his front rotation kind of with Chrysler coming in. And then he really never got the shot. And when he did get the shot, I mean, he was athletic. I don't think that's the problem with him. I think it's just shot selection and kind of... He didn't really have a... spot in the offense. I mean, he couldn't really play in the post, couldn't really dribble that much.
Yeah, and I'm interested to ask Jae Young, too, because if you look at his stats, right, he dropped 7 against Providence, and then 7 against Stony Brook and Hartford, and then 6 against Iona in the game we won. So a pretty decent start to the season. And then at that Niagara game where Jake and Chrysler come, he plays 1 minute.
Yeah, the minutes just weren't there. I mean, the beginning of the year, he looked great. I mean, we liked him a lot at the beginning of the year. He was able to... He took a couple threes, made a few.
Especially that Providence game. Yeah. I thought he was going to be...
Like a beast.
Yeah.
I mean, those are legit NBA guys he was going to be against. He was able to rebound with them. So, I mean, that idea that he might be the most athletic guy in the MAC might not be entirely wrong.
He just didn't really have the chance to do it. And he just didn't really use his minutes...
Yeah, later on, I mean, he did get minutes at time, and he never took advantage of them.
Marist... 11 against Siena, 14 against Marist, 13, 12 against Quinnipiac.
Like, playing well in those games gets you more minutes. So it's like, if he played well in those games, he would have gotten the 20 minutes or 25 minutes. Chris wouldn't have had to play 35 minutes a game if Chef was taking advantage of the minutes.
And he played 16 minutes against Manhattan in the last game of the season, or second to last game of the season. And then played 3 against Manhattan in the MAC. Championship
because
first round
with Jason, they probably went with Jason over.
Yeah, he played 3, and then he didn't play for the rest of the series.
That's the one worrisome thing, that Jason was already getting minutes over him.
Yeah,
he was a redshirt junior,
and it's like Mida was hurt, and he still didn't get minutes in that.
Yeah,
championship.
Like a true round. Freshman coming off mono, not even having played the whole season, is already getting the minute share over you as a redshirt junior. It's tough. to kind of steal those back.
Yeah, I'm interested to see
where he fits.
What Jae Young's outlook is on him going forward, because you know people were, you know, not just Jae Young, people in general were very.
I mean, yeah, what are those? The articles, Three Men Weave.
Yeah,
loved him coming in.
Yeah, so I don't know. You know, this is probably Chef or Allen, probably like my biggest question marks of the season.
Because
like
one of them
happened.
Can be the odd man out. They can't both get major minutes.
Yeah, and just I just mean in general from this past season too, like my biggest question marks, like what happened?
Yeah, what happened?
Why
with
didn't
them?
They, you know, produce the way we thought they would?
But for next year, honestly, I could see them too kind of battling for those 5-10 minutes that you get from that last bench guy.
Yeah, because one of them's going to get. It's really them two and Jason, because you know as much as Jason, he still hasn't fully proved himself either.
Yeah, I mean he has to have a good offseason for him naturally.
So those three guys are really going to be fighting for those minutes when like Chrysler comes out or you know.
Mm. And think about how different. Also, if you think about how different the lineups were to start the year to how they ended, it could change.
Oh, it changes all the time, all the time.
Chef doesn't start playing in game one. He could be starting by the MAC tournament.
Yeah, so I'm interested to see what happens, but I'm also interested to ask Jae Young what happened this year. So, grade for him, I'd give him like a C minus or C.
Yeah,
really.
A C.
So that rounds out that. Overall, I think I want to get into
the schedule
before. Well, we could just get into just an evaluation on Jae Young himself / coaching staff, how he thought about it. You know what you thought about. His rotations, his, you know, just his ability as a coach this year. If you want to start.
I like his ability to change on the fly. I think of it more in terms of like the NBA. A lot of coaches stick with rotations no matter who is playing well or bad at times. Like they kind of are sticklers to what they started with. I mean, he wasn't afraid to have a guy that started not play a lot of the game, depending on the hot hand. I like that a lot. I mean, especially with guys on Fairfield that kind of some games can play poorly and then some games be like one of the better players in the court. I like his ability to kind of play the hot hand over a weekend or over a game itself.
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought he had a good season. Again, it's like, you know, last year he did pretty well for what he had. This year,
starting to get more of his guys.
And did a little bit better in the tournament. It's important to not let the tournament overlook the fact that, like,
we still were not in what
season 20? Wise, we weren't great. We were what,
9-20, 9-21?
Yeah, we were. Well, I mean, the standings were all messed up anyway this year because of the way they did it. But whatever our record was, it still wasn't the best, right?
No,
we're 10-17. So 10-17. 37% win record, 7-11 in conference, so not even .500.
I mean, granted, 7-9 or was it 7-11 in the conference?
Yeah.
So I mean, yes, 7-11 isn't great, but I mean, a lot of games could have gone our way. Like earlier in the year, I mean, we played Stony Brook, 3-point loss in overtime.
Hartford games
were close. Quinnipiac games, we had a couple Quinnipiac games we should have won that we lost. So.
We beat Quinnipiac, right?
We had that one at home.
Yeah, I also think we should have beat Marist twice.
Yeah, so, I mean, there are a lot of games that could have swung our way. But, yeah, obviously, like, it still wasn't an overall roaring success, even though the ending was so,
yeah.
So good.
That's why we didn't want the ending to kind of, like, you don't want the ending to make you be like, oh, it was an amazing season.
We're
going to
be a
top
three team in the MAC next year. Obviously, we'd love to be, but I wouldn't.
Yeah, you can't let that ending like kind of totally skew your views. But you know, overall, I was impressed with him this year. My only criticism would be at times when he wouldn't let rotations kind of get into the flow of the game. You know, we talked about him making subs too quickly.
See, what we liked was that he would switch on he wouldn't let rotations stick, but almost to a fault. Like, sometimes he would just be switching guys in and out constantly, almost.
Yeah, like, we used to just text during games, and especially when we were home.
Yeah.
And you know, it'd be like, oh, I like this rotation. By the time I texted you, it would be...
Yeah, they already were sending someone else.
Gone. Yeah, it would be someone else. So that was my only, like, criticism. But overall, you know, I don't really...
Let rotations breathe for a second.
Yeah, yeah. But I really don't have many complaints with the way he coached.
No, I mean, he... you can tell, like, he's extremely invested in this team. He has no, like, he's not one foot up. Like, he is invested in this team and wants.
And it's going
to
be a process.
Yeah,
right?
It's a process. He knows that too.
He's building something. Like, his mentor built something at Rutgers, and they, you know, they had a good season this year. But it takes time.
Oh, for sure.
And you know, it's his second season. So, yeah, I mean, I'm still impressed. There's like not a doubt in my mind that he's the right man for the job. We love him. We always tweet about him and stuff.
And also, I mean, we also say, like, don't let the NAC tournament skew your, like, thoughts about the season. But, I mean, you also have to say, like, that MAC run, just as much about the players as it is about the coaching. I mean, he out-coached against three teams. But, I mean, Monmouth and St. Peter's are two teams that were, severely more talented
higher,
than us.
2 and 3 seed.
Yeah. And he was able to kind of out-coach their coach to an extent that we were able to beat Monmouth by, 30 points, 20 points?
Yeah.
So you have to take that into account, that he is kind of a great in-game manager, great motivator, obviously.
Yeah, so Jay Young grade, should we grade him?
Yeah.
It's like a B.
A B, yeah. I'll give him an A, obviously A for the MAC tournament, and then like a C plus for the season, so it'd be like a B-ish overall.
Average it out. All right, so before we move on from basketball and wrap the season up, let's talk about, really quick, our highest point and lowest point as a Fairfield fan this season.
I get into the schedule. I got to see where my high point looks, because everything just mixes together playing the same teams over and over again.
For me, my lowest point, we'll start off with our lowest point so we end it on a good note. I think one of my lowest points was losing that first game to Iona.
You stole mine. I'll find something.
We were already 4-0-4, dropped three games that I thought we should have won. We'd already got embarrassed on TV once to Providence. And now we're on TV, all excited, ESPNU, playing against Rick Pitino. And we lose by almost 30 on TV. I think it was a Friday night. I was at home. Low point. Low point as a Fairfield fan. But the bounce back win was great. Definitely one of the bigger outlooks of the season. But that was probably my lowest point as a Fairfield fan, aside from losing in the MAC championship, which is like an obvious clear cut lowest point.
I was going to say, so my low point, you took mine to my second lowest point, was probably that Niagara series. That Niagara series,
that was
the first games with Jake and Chris are there. We kind of thought, oh, we're like, whatever, what point we were. Because
we just beat Iona,
Just beat Iona. We were like, okay, we're kind of starting to turn around. We were her transfers in. And then just a extremely uninspired effort in both games. Kind of, we lost both by 15-plus points.
Yeah, and they really didn't impress me that much,
to be honest. It wasn't like it was like a Siena where we were like, okay, we hope that we
Hammond was good, but for the most part,
not the best team.
They didn't impress me. I really thought we should beat them once,
and
for
so
sure.
That stretch, Cruz was kind of starting to like lose his spot in the rotation. That was when he kind of started moving to the bench. That game, I think the second game, he started on the bench. So it kind of started to look like we were like kind of all out of sorts. One of our seniors was moving out of the rotation. We didn't really have Taj kind of playing well at that point.
Yep.
It was like, what are we gonna win? Like, are we ever gonna?
We're
like,
gonna win. Yeah, yeah, we're gonna. Yeah, and I think that was why like the other one was my low point, the Iona one, because it's like, are we gonna win at all? Are we gonna win a game this year? But moving on to the high points, I'd say two from the regular season. I'd say the St. Peter's win, regular season. We were watching that together. That was fun because that was like they scored, 15 in the first half or 17?
They had nothing.
And then they found themselves down at one point, and they came back and won. My other high point, I might be stealing both yours, but the last game of the regular season, Manhattan, when Jake dropped, 33 or whatever.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun because they had just beat us the night before. Their coach is not a very likable guy. Their players get off the bench or just kind of like disrespectful. So we come back the next night and beat them by a bunch and then carry that over. Obviously, my other high points would just be the three games we won in the MAC championship. All three of those, I feel like we had a uniquely different, fun experience watching those games.
We had Manhattan, close game, grinded out, kind of last second shot.
Overtime.
Overtime. Then we had
Monmouth
dominant
win.
Kind of a blowout. Then St. Peter's kind of more to like a high
No, it's 54-7.
But 47. We had then we had like kind of the
high intensity,
but with Wojcik's kind of.
Yeah, and we watched that game with like a lot of people. That was a lot of fun, just like being there, like getting really into it. So those are definitely my high points.
So yeah, I'm gonna go more less game wise and more like player wise. So I was gonna say kind of Wojcik's coming out party as kind of this stud like 3-point shooting specialist in that Monmouth game. I mean, him being able to just kind of take over games was just like a treat to watch as like a Fairfield fan, not being able to see someone kind of do that. That was one of my tie moments with that Monmouth game, especially with Jake kind of coming out. And then I'm trying to find with the Canisius game. I'm trying to find the game with Taj. There, the stretch where Taj had like 20 in back to back games was the Quinnipiac series.
Oh, yeah, that was Quinnipiac. He had 18, 20, and then I think another 20 against St. Peter's.
Yeah, so I mean that stretch where kind of where he was able to kind of come out and be our number one guy, kind of that stud, just 20-point a game score that cause some teams in the MAC have. I mean, the Siennas and the Monmouths have that. We were like, how do they find guys that can do like score that much?
Yeah,
and it was fun to see Taj kind of grow into that kind of high level player.
Yeah, for sure. So wrapping up the season, it's been a long season. We've had a ton of fun covering Fairfield basketball. It's been a blast. Love covering them on here. Love tweeting about them. We've been really invested in them, and I really, really cannot wait till next season. I'm very excited for next season and beyond that. I know Alumni Hall is coming down real soon. They got the
insides down.
Yeah, they got the whole thing gated off. It's hard to even get in here into BCC right now with all the fencing, but Alumni Hall coming down soon. We'll be at Webster Make next year, and then I'll probably be here my fifth year at the new Convocation Center. So, yeah, it's been great. Do you have any final words, Fairfield basketball?
I'm excited. I'm excited for next year. Great year. I mean, you couldn't have asked for more from this year. I mean, the beginning was so, the outlook was so low at the beginning of this year. You told me after that first Iona game we'd be going to the MAC championship to play them. I would have called you crazy. So
yeah, and the game we beat St. Peter's in the semifinals, genuinely one of my favorite memories as a Fairfield student.
No, for sure.
So yeah, shout out to them. Thanks for the memories, and we'll be back next year. We're gonna move on, talk some Fairfield baseball. We got a few minutes left.
We are now officially Fairfield baseball guys.
Yeah, for the last. I mean, we're only gonna have next week. We have an interview. We'll announce at the end. Week after that, we have a couple more weeks, a couple more shows left.
Yeah.
So we might even have to drop in an emergency podcast from home during the MAC baseball.
Oh, of course. I mean,
because that's end of May.
I mean, we don't want to get too hard ahead of ourselves, but I mean,
if we make some noise in that tournament,
we go to the Super Regionals or something. Because I mean, I was looking up the requirements. If you win your tournament, kind of like basketball,
you're in, right?
You're in the Super Regionals.
Yeah.
So that's like, I mean, that's a step below Omaha right there.
Yeah, you get in the groups with like, yeah. So if they make some noise and we're not at school, we might have to drop some emergency podcasts from home. But for the most part, we have a few left, and we'll probably cover Fairfield baseball for the most part in those, besides if we get any other interviews. So Fairfield, undefeated, 14-0, historic season. They're playing right now, actually, doubleheader, 12-3 against Quinnipiac. Yeah,
that could be a incorrect statement by the time this gets
could be, hopefully not. But 14-0, I guess we'll just talk about real quick like our experience with them so far going to the games. I've had fun watching
them. They're exciting. They're an exciting team. Their pitching is phenomenal. We don't really.
They're so exciting because they're so dominant.
Yeah, it's like every game they're ripping.
There's like no close games. It's like 6-0 is like the closest game they'll
play.
Honestly,
like that's exciting as a fan of the team. It's exciting to see them just like rip like 6-run. Like the one game, were you at that game when they had the 10-run inning?
Yeah, where they had like back-to-back triples. Yeah, that was last week, I think, against Ryder.
Especially the players themselves they've excited. Like Justin Guerrero, like that guy's a monster. He's OPSing 1600.
Yeah, he leads the MAC, right? He leads the MAC in six different statistical categories.
Like that's a monster right there. And then
six major categories.
And then you sent me that the the ESPN broadcast. So, they went up about Josh Signor. John Signor.
Yeah, they went on about him, calling him the Bartolo Colon of the MAC.
And even that one Nazar was like, I have a man crush on Fairfield.
Yeah. Yeah, so Signor and Jake Noviello, pitching-wise, combined 38 innings, right, between the two of them. 3 runs allowed between the two of them.
Yeah, no, they were...
combined.
And... it was interesting to see, like, the RPI. I don't know what the RPI...
Yeah, so they're number 2 right now. They're number 2 in the NCAA D1 RPI rankings. RPI, I was looking it up the other day. It's kind of complex. It's like a series of, like,
it's
equations,
like,
pretty
it's
much.
It's like the KenPom. You know, the KenPom in basketball? Like, the weird, like, it has, like...
But it takes into account, like, everything.
Yeah.
Like, who their opponents are, who their opponents' are, like... everything.
Yeah, and then, like, the KenPom, like, in basketball also has, like, weird top 5 teams. I remember, like St. Bonaventure and, like, weird teams like that were in the top 5 in this past year.
Because if it was, like, real rankings, it would obviously be, like, Vandy, Ole Miss, like, stuff like
so
that.
So it's interesting to see... Oh, basketball has RPI rankings, too. That makes... Okay, that's it. Like, BYU is 6, ended 6 in RPI rankings in basketball.
Yeah.
So it's weird like that.
But it's really nice to be, like, recognized.
Yeah, it's nice to be...
on a national kind of...
yeah.
stage like that. You mentioned Guerrera as well, but for me, yeah, it's been all their dominant wins. Like, we watched a couple games last week where it was like 17 to like 6 or like,
I mean, they were mercying teams, the whatever that,
yeah, like, they, I think they mercied like Ryder,
Quinnipiac.
The only thing for me is they've had no away games yet. That's
weird. And they don't really play that many. I was like, I think they play 7.
They play like
all year.
Yeah, they play a couple coming up, but I mean, they play today doubleheader. They play Saturday
home.
Saturday and Sunday home.
Ooh.
Cuz I know we just released a broadcasting schedule. And if anyone's interested in listening to WVOF, we have a couple members of our radio station broadcasting the 3 o'clock game today on here. And I know people are broadcasting the game this weekend as well.
It's also nice to see, like, they're good sport. The outfielders, they're good sports. I mean, we like to heckle. Obviously, we're human.
Yeah.
A baseball game, you're that close to the players, you're gonna heckle.
Well, that's fun too. As far as, like, I know this show, we try to, like, grow fan engagement or whatever.
Yeah.
The baseball games get a lot of students.
I was gonna say that's the most fan engagement we've seen in a while since basketball closed
since
down.
Since we watched St. Peter's.
Yeah. So, that's, I mean, it's fun. And the players themselves love it, too. Like, they've even said to us, like, the outfielders have said to us, they love...
love the support.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know Saturday we had a ton of people over there.
Mm-hmm.
We tweeted out a little picture and stuff. DPS shut us down, unfortunately. But it was fun while it lasted. We had a
great
student section there going. And it was a good time. And everyone has fun when you're winning.
Yeah.
That's another thing, too, about, like, with basketball. It's like... if they start winning more and
people
will come, too.
Yeah.
People will come to the games. And Fairfield baseball, I'm sure there wasn't a lot of people going to the games the first few. Yeah. Even we didn't really go.
I didn't even know. There are times where we probably didn't
know
they were playing.
They start winning. They're 5-0. They're 7-0. They're 10-0. Now people start going. So that's another, you know, success drives, like, fan engagement. But, yeah, we have fun going to these games. They've played mostly, like, the same team so far. They beat Canisius 4 times, Iona 4 times, Quinnipiac twice, and Ryder 4 times. I'm not really sure who the best teams are in the league besides us. Besides us, obviously. But I do know, like, I feel like I know, like, one player on each of these teams that I play with in high school. So it's kind of cool to be able to watch. So they got Monmouth Saturday and Sunday. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, because that's the next best team in the conference.
Yeah, they're a good team. And the thing that's going to be interesting for me is we talk about these dominant wins for Fairfield. What's it going to be like when they finally face, like, adversity? You know what I mean? Because that almost could hurt you in a sense. Because when it comes time when it's like a 2-1 game and the pressure's on, you haven't had pressure all year.
You have pressure innings, guys that can take pressure innings.
And I'm sure they do. But it's just it's nice to gain pressure experience now instead of your first game under pressure is the MAC semifinals.
It's like a win or go home situation.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. I think it would almost be good for them to get like a
loss. Not even a loss, but even a close win.
A loss or like a 3-2 win or like something like that, just because, yeah, it's great to have this historic season, but you also want them to be well prepared going into the MAC championship, you know, tournament. So, yeah, we'll see how they do this weekend, and then next Saturday and Sunday they're playing two doubleheaders away at Manhattan, their first away games, and then they play four more away games in the beginning of May against Niagara. So we'll keep up to date with them. Again, if you want to listen to the broadcast of the game today on here, I think around 3 p.m. or whenever the second doubleheader starts, two of our WVUF members will be calling the game. Not us, but maybe down the road.
We
could call a game.
If anyone wants that.
Yeah, we could call a game, so that would be fun. But other than that, we wish them the best luck. We're going to keep watching them. We'll probably go to at least one or two of those games this weekend. And then soccer, just to close off, I don't have a whole lot to say.
They have a big game soon, don't they?
They have a big game at 3 p.m. today. They are playing Quinnipiac as well. It must be a Quinnipiac kind of
That is one
week.
Thing I do like about the spring compared to like the winter and the fall is that we do have sports constantly. I mean, even on Saturday, we had the baseball game going on one field and
yeah.
Women's lacrosse are playing
that's like,
on the other field right next
that's
to
That's pretty normal. I mean, soccer would usually be playing in the fall if there wasn't COVID.
But there's just stuff constantly going on.
Yeah, and it's nice out.
And
you can just walk
outside. Yeah.
All the games are like right by our house, so like we could just walk outside. But yeah, they play in the MAC Soccer Championship Semifinals. MAC Semifinals, 3 p.m. at Quinnipiac. I know they had a last-minute heroic win against St. Peter's this week to send them there. We wish them the best of luck. And if you want to tune into that game at 3 p.m., I believe it is on ESPN Plus. So if you have ESPN Plus, you could tune into that game. I'll probably toss it on. I'll be at work, but I'll probably toss it on my laptop. And support the boys. Fairfield Soccer has always been supportive of us. They follow us, retweet our stuff sometimes when we have Matt Turner on. So we wish them the best of luck, and we hope they get to the MAC Finals. That'd be another cool.
Of course, yeah.
A lot of teams are doing well this year.
Yeah, I know. We're having a...
All of our teams.
Not held us back.
All of our teams are doing well. I'm sure field hockey's doing well.
They always do well.
We're not really big lacrosse guys, so we don't really keep up with that too much, but...
We know they're solid.
Yeah. So I think... The women's team lost the other day, but they're usually very good.
I know
well.
The boys do play good teams. Like the boys.
Well, they play in a different. They play
yeah,
like
know,
the CAA
play,
or whatever
yeah,
that is.
The Bear Conference. Or
so,
whatever it is.
But you know, regardless, that kind of wraps up our show. If you have anything else you wanted to add, do you have anything?
No, I mean it's a good time to be a Stag right now.
Yeah, it is a good time.
A lot of good things going on.
Our very last thing before we get out of here. We're going to announce next week, next Wednesday, we're going to have Jay Young back on the podcast for our second interview with him to wrap up the season from his eyes. So if you're listening and you have any questions you want us to ask Jay, you're going to have to send them in quick because we're probably recording that tomorrow. So if you're listening, you have any questions for him, please DM us tonight on Twitter. And yeah, we're going to record that, play it back for you guys next Wednesday at 12 p.m. Jay Young interview. Don't miss it. Tell your friends. It's been a fun week wrapping up Fairfield basketball with you, Jack, and I'm excited for next week. So thank you for everyone tuning in to WVUF 88.5 FM, Fairfield University Radio, Red Sea Radio, episode 25. We'll catch you next week for the Jay Young interview. Don't miss it, Wednesday at 12.